sindere breke tesu kateshi karabosa. Ye manasi kata la brakahe. Ondere breke tesho tele breke tesu kata makaha. Kiandoro bo shekere breke suadu. Shintele mesi koto bala kata ikere droma sitape. Lord God Almighty, we worship you. We magnify you. We testify, O God, that you're an awesome God. You're the mighty God of war. Hallelujah. Mande mato sekete le breke le bakala. Thank you, Lord, that strongholds come crashing down. In the mighty name of Jesus, strongholds of darkness are destroyed. Lord, O God, strongholds that blind, strongholds that deafen, strongholds that cause people to be mute, strongholds that impoverish, strongholds that cause people to be confused, oh, to be deceived, are shattered, destroyed, removed by the authority of your everlasting word. We exalt you, King of Kings. Arise, Almighty God. Let every enemy be scattered. In the mighty name of Jesus, fire of the living God, consume, 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 and eradicate, O God, everything that is not of you. We establish your will and your word, O God. We say, you are God and you reign supreme. Blessed be your holy name. Lord God Almighty, arise, O God. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to our King. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah to Him. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah to my King. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, I owe everything to Him. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah to my King. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in that precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in that precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much. We give God eternal praise. Amen. I want to say happy Father's Day to all fathers and fathers-to-be, no matter how young they might be. We do know that God has placed in them the capacity and the ability to be fathers. I would love to talk about fathers and what that means and all of that, but the primary purpose is to talk about what God is talking about, what He's speaking to us about right this very moment. In a real sense, if I can tie it together with a message that the Lord has placed in our hearts about the fear of God, if there's one lesson that every father must not only learn, but endeavor to teach by example, it is the fear of God. Because the fear of God seems to be the foundation through which every blessing comes and abides in our lives. And the fear of God is not something that you just have now and then you forget about it. It's something that you and I must continue in. We ended this morning by sharing the story of Balaam and Balak. And I shared with you about how when God spoke to Balaam, God actually came and talked to Balaam. Most everybody else, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came. It's the same thing. But this time, God decided to say, listen, I'm not going to use, and the word of the Lord came. But I'm going to say, and God came. And even to the one that God came to, he lost out because he had other things in his mind. An idol doesn't necessarily need to be something that you place before God. An idol is that which you place as equal to. And when we talk about the spirit of the Antichrist, an Antichrist doesn't necessarily have to be against. An Antichrist can be that which is an alternative. And you and I need to be very careful about the alternatives that we embrace, because that is the spirit of the Antichrist. We've embraced philosophy and psychology for the gospel. That is Antichrist. We've embraced positive thinking and humanistic thinking for faith and self-esteem. And that is Antichrist. Not because it is bad. What is bad about helping people to build up their esteem? Other than they are not being built up by the word of God, but by the words of men and the thinkings of man. And that is the bedrock of the spirit of humanism, an Antichrist. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said to me, he said, the spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of humanism and science. I said, huh? I said, what do you mean? He says, that's the spirit. That's the manifestation of it in the earth. The spirit of humanism and science. Man's way of doing things and science. And can you see that even today, What trumps in the world is science. What does science say? Nobody is doubting what science says. But science does not trump God. Hallelujah. Humanism does not trump God. It is the spirit of the Antichrist. And child of God, we need to embrace the word of God and be certain we know what we believe, why we believe it, and declare it boldly. Not in a setting of compromise. We live in a world of compromise. Actually, if there's one word that I hate, it is that word, compromise. I hate it. You say, why would you hate such a nice word? No, because compromise doesn't get you to truth. There's nothing truth embedded in compromise. Compromise is a seat of wishy-washiness. One of the things that faces us as a people today is that we don't learn to listen to perspectives. Now, what I'm about to say to you right now may sound contradictory to everything I've said so far, but just bear with me. Life is not black or white. Life is black and white. Two things can be true at the same time. And you need to deal with things as they are, not as you wish them to be. When you deal with things as you wish them to be, you live in the world of compromise. And in that world, it's a slippery slope. Nobody truly gets to the end of satisfaction and fulfillment. The devil is 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 the devil. There are no black devils and white devils. There's just the devil. And there's no white sin and black sin. It is sin. Hello? If you, well, it's a black lie and a white lie. No, there's no such thing. A lie is a lie. Hello? If you don't understand that, then you live in a world where the enemy always has a pathway. Have you ever had an apple and you cut through it and you see a worm in it and you looked at the outside and there was not a sign that there was a worm in it? Well, that's the world of compromise. The enemy is in the details. The racial issues that we face in our world today cannot be addressed until man recognizes that's a heart issue. We cannot legislate those things. Every single person, you've heard me say this before, every single person on the planet is racist. You have to deal with it. You have to confront that racist attitude that's inside of you and shun it and say, you don't belong here. We are one human race and we are not going to be divided by color. Until you deal with it, you're going to be patching it up. I've met the most racist people who befriended me just to prove that they were not racist. Yeah. Own up to your issue, and then we can talk. I don't know how I got here, but I got here somewhere. Here we are afraid of everything based on our prejudices. Prejudice. Because we will not deal with the real issue. Man is a sinner that needs God. Amen? We need God. We need a changed heart. It's a heart issue. Black lives matter. I say hallelujah to that. But I also say all lives matter. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every single man and every single woman on the planet matters. We all matter. Many years ago, you've heard me tell this story. The Lord sent me to Kenya, and He said to me, when I get to Kenya, I needed to repent on behalf of my fathers, my forefathers, because Mama and I had asked the question, what is wrong with black people, we asked. Why is it that we have doctors driving taxi in New York, in Toronto? Why is the wealth and the resources of Africa being stripped out? And the Lord spoke very clearly to her and spoke to me differently. We came back together and we said, the Lord said, the issue is the issue of slavery. Huh? Said the same thing to you, said, yeah. About a month or two later, I was going to Kenya to speak at a conference, and the Lord said, I want you to preach about Mephibosheth when you get there, and I want you to repent for what your fathers did. Because as long as you blame the white man for your issues, you will never really receive healing. Okay. So I went, and I preached the word of the Lord. Cut a long story short, there were some speakers that were there that particular day that were from America, black Americans. And I stood on that stage right there in Nairobi, in their conference center, the heart of the city. And I repented on behalf of our fathers for what we had done, that we sold, our fathers sold them into slavery for whatever reason. Would you please forgive? And they said, yes, we will. And as soon as they said yes, the power of God hit them. I didn't touch anybody. They fell under the power of God and decided throwing up. I'm looking at these people, guest speakers, trashing on the floor. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And the Lord says, the pain is deep. It is deep within them, and I've got to heal them. And then I prophesied. I said, because of what God has done here today, blacks are going to rise up to high levels of prominence in the United States. This was in November, or late October, getting to November. And sure enough, Bush Jr. won that election, and he raised up Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, and key black men into his cabinet. So, wow, that's amazing. But also that day, after I said that, I said the craziest thing I've ever said prophetically. I said, and there is going to be a black president. I held my mouth right there in public. Oh, who said that? In what country is there going to be a black president? What? While I was saying that in Kenya,
God was busy moving a black man called Obama. Same year, through the Senate, 4 years later, when Bush was becoming 72nd term, Obama was speaking at the Democratic convention, and when Bush was heading out, there Obama was coming in. It was a major shocker. People were telling us at that time, we're in China actually when it happened, people were saying, oh well, you know, I think it was Clinton or whoever it was going to win. We said, no, Obama is going to win. How do you know? I said, God said. The prophetic word had gone forth. Amen? So Obama became president. Now we need another level, another dimension. Because until we deal with this issue completely, and I'm believing God to help me step into the United States. I've been wondering for a long time now, why is it that I'm Canadian and I'm always thinking about the U.S.? I'm not planning on going to the U.S. anytime soon. Why am I so interested in what's happening there? And I'm becoming more aware of it because there's still a message that I need to take to my brothers to let them know. Until you deal with this issue and embrace your part of this, black men will keep on killing black people. There's more people being killed by our own people than any cop is going to kill us. Because until you have respect for yourself, you will not live the life that causes you to truly be fulfilled. Oh, white people have their issues, and Chinese have their issues, and Europeans have their issues. Everybody's got their issues. But we've got to come to a place where we recognize that we've got to deal with me. What is my problem? I watched a video recently that you watched. Man is sleeping at, is it Wendy's? In his car. Called the cops. And for 40-something minutes, they're having a nice discussion. And for the world of me, I cannot understand what happened. And the man makes the decision to run. And a white man shoots him. If that is not the manifestation of the devil, when you've been having a proper discussion, calm discussion with the officer, what makes you run? And why do you shoot the guy? The guy's car is there. You possibly have his license. Why do you shoot him? You can find him. If it is not the devil, but thank God, God can cause all things to work together for good. But why is all of this happening? There's no fear of God, and there's no fear of any authority, no respect, no honor. No honor for fathers, no honors for mothers, no honor for government, no honor for anybody. Because it starts with, first of all, honoring God. When you start with honoring God, having a fear of God, then you respect authority. Even the word of God says, don't just jump up, even talking about the devil, don't just start shooting your mouth off. You say the Lord rebuke you. That's what the word of God says. Like you cannot just, I'm so anointed. I'm just going to speak anything I want to say to the devil. Keep at it. And you find out later that you that runs away from your little puppy, that the devil is more than a puppy. See a worm. Can you imagine it? Someone sees a little ant. Ah, oh, spider! Ah. But you want to talk about the devil. You want to mouth off. Can't even handle a spider. Kill it, kill it, kill it. A spider. No, the Lord rebuke you. And that's a word that I declare today. In the name of Jesus, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you, devil, that's trying to create confusion in the planet, confusion in the earth. The Lord God Almighty rebukes you. We've got to self-quarantine. Yeah. Separate yourself and say, God, is there a virus in me that's about to kill me and kill other people? Lord, eradicate it. Flush it out of my life. I don't want this virus. It may be called whatever name it's called. I know it's called sin. Flush this nonsense out of me. I am called to be the righteousness of God in the land of the living. I'm supposed to be righteous and holy here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not for me. Praise God. The Lord said, he who comes and hears my word and does it is a wise person. You know, the things I've shared so far, I know might be calling some people to be boiling, because all they think about is it's this or that. You either stand with us or you are against us. No, no. I recognize it is black, it is white. That's the truth. And then deal with the real issue. Stop pretending. You know, as long as you keep on throwing stones, you might end up, that stone might bounce back and hit you. It's a foolish world. As if erasing the history of your nation is going to cause any kind of change. No, it causes that problem to be revisited again and again because you forget your history. You look at that statue and you say, that represents an evil that must not be repeated. You don't go tearing it down. Because as long as you keep on tearing down statues, you tear the good ones and the bad ones. Jesus, our Lord, said, leave the tares and the wheat to grow together. So that you don't go uprooting the good stuff. There's always a harvesting time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tell you the truth, I had something else totally prepared for you. But somehow the Lord is pulling me this way for somebody. Might be one person, might be a whole host of people, but for somebody, God's pulling me this way. But maybe you let me get to the original stuff. I like it when he pulls a fast one on me because he knows if I know ahead of time, I might chicken out. But now I'm in it. There's no chickening out. Hallelujah. We're going to let it rock and roll. Glory be to God. God has a plan. And he causes all things to work together for our good. All things, not just some things, all things. The devil is not going to occupy the space that God has in my life, nor in your life. Praise the Lord. Everything we're talking about is still about the fear of God. And it is about winning souls. When you win a soul, you're not just getting a convert. You want somebody who's going to be discipled, to think the way God thinks, address things from God's perspective, and have God's agenda as a primary agenda of that life. In Proverbs 11 and verse 30, Proverbs 11 and verse 30, Word of God says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. If wisdom is about coming and hearing God's word and doing it, then he that winneth souls is one who's coming and doing what God says concerning souls. And what does God say to us to do concerning souls? Win them to him. Bring them to him. Lead them to him. Disciple nations. That's what God wants. And that's what we must want. Amen? Praise the Lord. The last words of a man are very important. They are words that should burn deep within our psyche. But so are words that are very meaningful. I remember something that happened just yesterday. I was playing with my grandson. You know, when you have children that have children, Father's Day celebration becomes a different day. It has to be that. I never thought about that before until I had children that have children. Because now my sons are fathers and, you know, they have their own family and they're going to celebrate Father's Day. When are they going to celebrate it? When they are celebrating me. So I got to have another day. Hallelujah. So the decision was that my day was yesterday. So they came and we barbecued and we did all kinds of stuff and we had a wonderful family time and spoke the blessings of God over them and, you know, and stuff like that. But I remember holding my grandson, I lifted him up. And he says to me, he says, Papa Lolo, you know how to carry me. I say, oh, this is a good one. I cannot forget this. Oh, yes. When he said, Papa Lolo, you know how to carry me. I said, oh, yes, I'm going to carry you. I can touch the ceiling. I say, yes, you can. I lifted him even higher so he can really touch it. Memorable times. That would be a hard time to forget. Because a connection was made with the next generation. And the connection God wants us to have, and He wants to have, is a connection with the next generation. I have spent my time with you, disciples. Now I need for you to take what I've invested in you and pass it on. Keep on passing it on. Evangelism is about passing it on. The love that we have for God, passing it on. The fear that we have for God, passing it on. Letting others know that we know something that they've not tasted yet. And we're saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when they taste, they too take it and they share it with the next person. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think about the Olympics. They light the torch, Mount Olympia or whatever. And they keep on running and passing the torch. Nobody completes the race, but they all complete the race until they get to that stadium and they light it. And everybody erupts, you know, in celebration for the whatever sport they are playing. And even that is all messed up now. Because now we don't know who is a man, who is a woman, and which race you should run in. It's all messed up. And I'm convinced that if you're not Arnold Schwarzenegger that can get pregnant in the movies, you're not a woman. If you don't have a womb. Here they are. Jesus says, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to take what I've put inside of you and pass it on. I want you to lay hands on the sick and they are going to recover. I want you to disciple nations. Speak my words into lives so that they know what the truth is. That I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's what I want you to go tell them. There are no other gods besides me. What have we done? Instead of passing the word on and winning souls, we sat on our hands many times, said nothing. Because it takes boldness to speak. So many voices shut up because somebody's going to sue me. Okay? So, that's supposed to intimidate me? And how? You have to care about those kind of nonsense if you are living for your flesh. That's when you care about those kind of threats. If you're living for your flesh and you just want to keep your flesh, then you get afraid. They're going. Quiet. That was Paul's attitude. Go ahead. Which jail do you want to put me in? That one? When I go there, I'm going to lead them all to the Lord. You want to lock me up? I'm going to be praising God. This jailhouse is going to rock and roll. We're going to break out of this jail. There's still a God. He's not dead. No, he's not. He is very well and alive. And until we get rid of the fear of man and have a true fear of God, we will not know the power of God like we should. Nobody's going to intimidate me. Not. It's like they say in Nigeria, who born monkey? Who gave birth to the monkey? You're going to threaten me? Excuse me. No, the word of God is the word of God. And why do I need to be bold to declare the word of God? Because I love people. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to be eternally lost. And therefore I must stand for something and say this is right and this is wrong. It's not a mix. You don't mix it. You say, well, I guess it's okay. No, it's not okay. It is, well, I guess we can do it like this and do it like that. Compromising. That's what gotten the gospel to be so messed up that people don't know what the truth is. People need to know what the truth is. They may not like what they hear, but truth cuts. Truth doesn't allow you to live in the realm of compromise. It forces you to take sides. So I'll be on the side of God on this matter. Because when I'm on the side of God on this matter, a nation can be changed. A people can be transformed. Minds can be renewed. Somebody's got to know where true north is. You got to know, or we are forever lost. Matthew chapter 28. We're talking about the fear of God. And what I'm dwelling on today in this discourse is this, that the fear of God is about winning souls, and you cannot win souls without being truthful, dealing with the truth, without locking yourself into a world of compromise, standing for something. How can people be won to the Lord if you are not telling them the truth and only the truth? Is Jesus now going to become one of the gods? Father is going to become one of the gods? Like the one ecumenical system? Everybody, we are all the same. You Hindu, you Muslim, you Christian, you whatever. Oh, we are all the same. Peace, peace. One world religion. Oh, we love. No. Jesus, our Lord, said, I didn't come to bring peace to the world. He's a peacemaker. He brings peace. But he said, because of where I stand, what the truth is, it's going to create problems. You want me to say that Jesus is not the way and the truth and the life so that we can be huggy-huggy when you're telling me, social distancing. No, I'm going to social distance you, man. No. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. You're not going to cause me to bow down to whatever in Mecca. For what? Like, that's my salvation? Like Muhammad died for me and paid the price for my salvation? No, it's not happening. Oh, God, all these gods, embrace whichever. Did somebody tell you that I'm supposed to be worshiping any other gods? You want me to do what? No. Even Moses and Elijah showed up. Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, show up, and Peter says, let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. God says, get out of here. We're not doing that. This is my beloved son, him only Jesus. Hallelujah. Only Jesus. It's not anybody else. It's not Confucius. You grab Confucius and get confused. No. It's not that. It's him. Looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Whether everybody embraces it or not, it's not the matter. Well, we've got to be, friendly, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Huh? What? No. You know what we do? We try to water down the gospel and make it, accessible to everybody. Seeker-friendly, that's the one I'm talking about. Seeker-friendly. Thank you so very much. Seeker-friendly. Seeker-friendly. For the gospel. Seeker-friendly. Jesus is preaching the word. He says, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you can't be part of me. And thousands left him. And he's left with 12. And he says, what are you guys still doing here? Aren't you guys leaving also? He said, where are we going to go? You got the word of life. God loves everybody. But God is not going to compromise himself because of anyone. The road is wide and many that find it and are destroyed. The road is narrow for few find it. You don't want to follow it the way he wants. You're out. He invites so many people and they come and to a wedding and they get first of all, he invites all these people and everybody's giving their excuse and he says to his servants, go to the highways and the byways and invite everybody, whoever it is you can invite. And they invite all these people, the poor, the rich, the crooked, the whatever. They all come and they give them the wedding garment. But there comes this dude that thinks that he can do whatever he wants to do, whichever way he comes with his own outfit, because he thinks my tux is better than whatever tux you guys got. So he wears his own tux and sits down like a big shot. The guy comes and says, how did you get here? And why aren't you wearing what I provided? Throw this guy out. He can throw anybody out because he is the boss. You not. Amen? He is the boss. God is not going to compromise the gospel because he wants to save the whole world. No, he gave his only begotten son so that everybody who believes in him should not perish. That is his solution. Your solution does not count. And if I'm a preacher of the gospel, I must tell the people, this is the solution. Every other solution does not count. Even the government knows that. So they use hand sanitizers, and they okayed all kinds of hand sanitizers. Some are stinky and whatever. We just need an emergency. And now they say, recall, recall. Recall. there's only one. There's a standard. And God is not going to reduce his standard for you because you preach some kind of crazy grace. His grace is there to empower you to do the kind of living that he already determined is the way to live. Grace is not there for you to continue to be a fornicator and a homosexual and a drunk and a drug addict and a pusher and whatever else, and you say you're going to heaven. You're going into the kingdom of God? No, that's not what grace is about. Grace is there to forgive you for doing that and to empower you not to do it. Matthew 28. Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, this after he rose again from the dead, saying, all power. Somebody say all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth, all power is given to me. And because I have all this power in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Identify them, because the word baptizing is that word baptizo, which means to become one with, to be immersed, to be soaked, to become the same. In the name of the Father, in the base of the authority of the Father, the authority of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatsoever I've commanded you, teach them that. And we know that part of that commandment is about loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And that as we shared this morning, that loving God, which means doing his commandments, is the same thing as fearing God and doing his commandments. So teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you is about teaching them the love of God and the fear of God. He says, and lo, I am with you always. Because all power is mine in heaven and on earth. I'm going to be with you when you do this, even unto the end of the what? World. Even till the end of the world, I'm going to be with you. Just go there and tell them what I have commanded. Not what I have suggested. What I what? Commanded. He is the boss. And he's not suggesting anything. He's telling us what we're going to do. You like it? Great. You don't like it? Tough. In Mark chapter 16, starting to read from verse 15, Mark 16, 15. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is this gospel? This gospel is a gospel that when John questioned whether he was the real deal, that tells you something. That because you believe now does not mean that you'll always believe. John is in the heat of his issues. He's about, you know, he stood for something, and now he's in trouble because he was speaking the truth, and he's going to be beheaded. And he asks, are you the guy? Or is there somebody else coming? Because, man, I'm about to croak. Come on, please. Jesus says, tell them. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. And tells him all the kind of things that are happening. And he says, and tell him that the gospel is being preached to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This gospel has to be preached to the poor. Not so that they can be satisfied in their poverty and tolerate poverty in their lives, but rather that they understand that the yoke of poverty cannot stay on them. They are chosen of God, anointed of God, and this anointing destroys the yoke of poverty. Poverty is not to be attached to any aspect of my life. Amen? That is not my portion. Not when I have a father who has everything. So I give you that power. Go, preach this gospel to every creature. If you can't find anybody, preach to your dog. Hallelujah, it's a part of every creature. Hey, dog. Did you know you can go to heaven? If there are horses that come with Jesus from heaven, there's got to be dogs there. There must be a dog heaven. Repent. You chewing my shoe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He that believeth is baptized, and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. If you don't believe, you're going to be damned. But he that believes and is baptized, that is the difference. Listen, when we're talking about baptism here, we're not just talking about dipping somewhere in water. We're talking about a total surrender, a total transformation. Believing is the place where you started from, but you've got to go beyond believing to knowing. Hello? Going beyond believing to knowing. If you just stay in the place of believing, I can convince you otherwise. But when you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, who's going to change that? You know. It's the people that know God that do exploits. People who do not know God get exploited. Next. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And watch this. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, waiting for what? Waiting for every enemy to be made his footstool. His footstool? Yes. He is the head. We are his body. He's waiting for every enemy to be under our feet. And that place is the place where we are not running away from spider. We say, spider, under my feet. We're not running away from the snake. We say, snake, under my feet. Everything that is an enemy to you, under your feet. And Jesus, our Lord, says, I want you to go teach other people that. Let them know that every plan of the enemy can be under them, starting now. That's a place where we are not afraid of man or things or circumstances. Our fear and our allegiance is first and foremost to our King, our Redeemer, our God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let me conclude by taking us to Matthew 23 and verse 15. This is crucial because if what we're talking about here is about winning souls, then we must understand that the winning of souls is to the Lord, not to our religious systems, our religious belief rituals, and whatever else. It is to the Lord. It's not winning people to myself. It's about winning people to the Lord. It's not preaching because I love to preach. And there are those who preach because they love to preach. There are those who teach because they love to teach. There are those who prophesy because they love to prophesy. There are those who do whatever because they love to do it. And there's not really anything wrong with that, except why we really are doing it. Is it so that you can be known? Or so that he can be known? Matthew 23 and verse 15 give us an interesting perspective. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he says. For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. You're going to go through all kinds of stuff to just make one convert. You want somebody. That's a very important place. Being driven, and it doesn't matter whether it's land or sea, whatever it is you got to do it. You know, just go get one. God wants us to go looking for the one. But he says, you still a hypocrite. He says, you compare sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, when you finally get that proselyte, when you finally get that convert, you make him twofold, two times more the child of hell than yourselves. Now, that's an indictment. That you go and you're preaching and you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, and finally you make them twice you. That's a double portion anointing, can you see? That's it. God says, that I don't want. Nor of a man who wants, he's been a man of God for as long as I know him to be, but has now become part of the one world church and believes that God has called him and anointed him to help bring all the religions together, because the governments of this world have failed. And he and his brothers, the Hindus and the Muslims and the whatever, they are all going to become part of this one church, one world religion. And he said that is his primary mandate. His first mandate is to make sure that he has a member of his church in every family on the planet. He says, but that is the least of it. It's not how you start. And starting is good. It's how you finish. And if that man can mess up that much, and I pray that he changes, that God reaches him and he repents and cries out to God and says, God, I cannot be part of this. I cannot be part of the UN agenda and what we agreed on in the UN, in the back doors, in the secret place. I'm coming out to tell you what I'm really about. How do you fall that much? God says, you are a hypocrite, scribe, Pharisee, hypocrites. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he's made, when you finally get him, you make him twice a child of hell than yourself. Yes, we need to go win souls, but we need to win them to the Lord and point them to the Lord and not cause them to be compromised in any way, shape, or form. Even if you have to say, do as the Lord does, not as I do, tell them that. At least we know you're telling the truth. God wants us to stand for something, live for something, and that something being him. We must not take our eyes off of the Lord. Amen? Don't let anybody take you and take your eyes off of the Lord. Amen? I know that the Lord has led me at different times to say, bring water or whatever or oil, and we pray over the oil or pray over the water, and we waters from the rivers of God and stuff like that. But the focus has never been on that. It's just a representation of something that comes from God to us. But any man tells you, this is your solution. Place your faith on this spring water. Tell the devil, the Lord rebukes you, devil. Amen? Your faith cannot be attached to that. Your faith must be on the risen Lord, whose name is above every other name. I know I've concluded already and I've been speaking for a while. You've gotten used to this already, I guess. But let me really wrap it up. Take me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And this is going to be it. Philippians 2, 10. It says, the Lord has a name. He's given a name, that name, Jesus. It says, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And verse 12, wherefore, watch this, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Based on what? Based on the fact that Jesus is Lord. And every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. Take that name, Jesus, wherever you go. And whatever challenges you, pronounce that name, Jesus, and tell that sucker, whatever it is, you bow to Jesus. You bow to his name. You are not going to rob me of what God has for me. I am more than a conqueror because Jesus. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we will not allow ourselves to be intimidated by the powers of darkness, not now, not ever. For this day we send your word as an evil-seeking missile to contradict every strategy of the enemy. Anyone that will try to sabotage your word and your purposes for mankind, Lord oh God, in Jesus' name, we send your word of rebuke to that one now. And we say by the authority of the word of God, any strategist, anyone that will seek to hinder this gospel of the kingdom, Lord God Almighty, may they know the harassment that will cause them to stop. Let your angels pursue after them in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says, oh God, that the pathway of such a one will be slippery. Lord, your word must not be hindered by any man or by any demonic force. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take hold of the airwaves and we say in the name of Jesus Christ, clear up. You have no authority. You cannot hinder the purposes of God, and you cannot stop men and women from coming to salvation. We declare that the minds of men be clear, that their eyes, O God, be open, that even like Saul, who persecuted the church, experienced the presence of the manifested risen Lord and became changed. Lord, O God, that men and women in high places and in low places will experience the manifestation of the authority and power of the living God like never before. And that, Lord, O God, men and women everywhere will begin to cry out to God and say, God, I repent of my evil ways and I seek you with all my heart. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Take this stony heart from me, this dark heart, remove it from me, and give me your heart. Your heart, O God, I want. In Jesus, my sovereign Lord's name, I call it so now done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, let us honor God with our giving. Remember that your commitment is to the Lord. And when you commit to the God of your salvation in expression with thanksgiving, your heart expressed through your giving, through your ministering of the Word of God, directly or indirectly, the God of heaven and earth, the one who reigns over all, has promised that he will open the windows of heaven and he will pour out his blessings upon you. May the manifold blessings of the Lord be bestowed upon you this day and every day of your life, on you and your children and your children's children, your family, nuclear or extended, that God's grace will sweep your homes and cause the splendor of his glory to be made manifest, so that all that you know will know the salvation of God and say, it's not just that you told me about him. I have met him also, and I know he's a good God. In Jesus' name, so let it be. Honor God with your giving. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. We'll see you next time, Wednesday, for Bible study, and Friday for prayer meeting. And of course, next Sunday, I'll be here and you'll be here and God will be here with us, and we'll have a blast in him. God bless you.